T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your headlines here on George Michael's birthday. Carolina trades Calvin DeHaan to Chicago for a player, for two players. One of them is Anton Forsberg. You do remember him. Played for the Blue Jackets. Got beat from like center ice by maybe Cody Hodson or maybe Gergensons. I don't remember. Pierre LeBrun, the Sabres, contacted Joe Pavelski's agent. NFL reporting dates. The Bills rookies report on the 22nd. Vets on the 24th. We get closer. That's less than a month away. Till training camp. Kansas City wide receiver Tyreek Hill to meet with NFL investigators tomorrow to discuss his situation. Italy is going to host the 2026 Winter Olympics. The U.S. beats Spain at the World Cup 2-1. The women will next play France. Giannis Antetokounmpo wins the NBA MVP. The Big East invites UConn to join. Yankees beat the Jays 10-8. And Giancarlo Stanton is first homer of the season. And they extend their streak of consecutive games with a home run, tying the record. Mets lose to Philly 13-7 and only had a minor organizational embarrassment.
I wouldn't even call it an organizational embarrassment.
Not by their standards.
You talk show guys, what are you talking about?
Jeff did tweet in about the Mets and said he's one more Met fan. He saw Tebow last week in Charlotte, and he's worse than his stats indicate.
Yeah. So his stats aren't good last I checked. I haven't updated him in a few weeks. He was not doing well at AAA. I wouldn't... It's the Mets. I mean, let's not spend too much time on them. Happy birthday to Jeremy turning 40 today. Very excited about that. Did you know?
I'm going to give you another tweet. We're getting a lot of these today.
Oh, about what?
About things that happened that went. Happy birthday, Jeremy. The Bills were going to draft Antonio Brown, and he didn't answer his phone. They drafted Danny Batten instead.
Danny Batten?
That happened.
I don't remember Danny.
The guy that they would have picked because Antonio Brown didn't answer his phone.
That worked out fine.
Happy birthday.
There's probably not a big difference between Antonio Brown and Danny Batten.
What's your favorite Danny Batten memory? The Danny Batten game.
There was that game-winning catch when they clinched the division over the Patriots.
He played one season.
He made the roster?
He made the roster.
Didn't even
2011, he appeared in 16 games. He started 4. He recovered a fumble.
Don't have...
And had half a sack.
I...
Danny Batten.
Oh, I thought he was an offensive player. I don't remember anything about
him. Oh, no, he was a linebacker, yeah.
I have no recollection of this guy ever being on the Bills.
There was a fun thing going around on... You know, we're in summer topics for not just people to talk on the radio, but Twitter is having summer conversations too, right? You're trying to get in... Your first NHL game, do you remember it? Do you know because the question was...
Thanks for bringing up a question from 45 years ago.
The question was, what was the first NHL game goaltender matchup you ever saw? That was it.
Well, I know who would have... It would have been a Rangers game. I couldn't tell you the exact year. It would have been early 1970s, and it would have been the Rangers. I couldn't tell you who they were playing. My guess is the goalie for the Rangers would have been a guy by the name of Eddie Jockeman, which if you're my age, Sabre fans in their 50s, you might remember him. So... I can give you half the answer. I just don't know who the opponent would have been. I probably would have been going to like 4, 5, 6 games a year at the Garden at that point, so I couldn't tell you who the opponent was.
My first NHL game ever was a Sabres game. I came up, I was after college coming to Buffalo. I know I saw Sabres Devils here. And I think that was my first game. I can't remember if I saw anything else before that. It pops to my head. So I was trying to look up what happened in this game because my memory is that I was coming to the game with friends. It's at the Marine Midland at that point or whatever it would have been.
Oh, from 97 to, yeah, it would have been.
I think it was 2001. It was either 2001 or 2000.
I don't think it would have changed from Marine Midland yet to HSBC. I forget when it changed over.
We were late getting to the game, and there was a goal scored in the first minute. And I was going back through Sabres-Devils games to try to find out where it was, what year it was. You know, was it 2001? October 2001 makes sense. And I ended up finding a Devils and Sabres game. I feel like Marty Baron was in net for this game that I was at.
Okay.
Against the Devils early. I thought the Sabres scored in the first minute, but maybe it was the Devils. Anyway.
The fact that they scored against the Devils and Martin Brodeur is an accomplishment.
Here's your stat of the day. So October 27th, 2001, the Sabres and Devils play a game early in the season. The score ends up 3-1 New Jersey. Since it's 18 years ago, sometimes the internet just doesn't have everything on these games. But according to this recap at ESPN.com, the Devils won the game with 3 goals on 11 shots.
Ooh, that's a beauty.
11 shots.
Marty's not going to want to have this conversation.
The Sabres were the team that they had 21 shots to 11 and lost 3-1. Now, I'm not sure if Marty played that game.
I hope not.
I'm pretty sure the first game I came to, Marty was in net against the Devils.
Wow.
It would have been 2000 or 2001, somewhere in there.
I wish I could remember the first game I would have seen. It's such a long time ago. But it would have been, you know, I would have been around 10 or whatever. So your first game is here. Obviously, the first game going to Madison Square Garden, that was a Shrine growing up, and it was a long, long time ago. And it would have been maybe, I don't know, for some reason the California Golden Seals comes into my head. I would have seen it. That's how old I am. I would have seen a game against the Golden Seals because I thought their uniforms were awesome. Couldn't tell you who would have been the goalie for them. I'd have to look that up. But, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Almost as long as it's been since the Sabres make a trade. Sorry.
No, you know,
no,
see,
know.
That's...
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, it's not. I'm so glad I'm off next week.
Oh, see, next week I expect stuff to actually happen.
That's fine. I mean, it's July 1, the free agency, the signing period starts. Look, teams now know what the cap is. Teams are getting a feel for, right, they're in their nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Well, no, it's not even nudge, right? You can't execute a contract, but you can, I assume, right, can you talk contract terms? I think you can, right?
Yep.
Is that part of the contact period? You can talk, but you can't actually finalize and execute a deal with these guys until July 1st?
Right.
So, look, you know, maybe we just kind of jumped the gun at the draft. Everybody was waiting for the cap number. Okay, now it's set. It's 81.5. Now what's the next point? Well, people are waiting to see what's going on in free agency. Now you have your contact period. You have an idea of which teams have an idea of who they're going to be able to sign. What are they doing with their own guys? Who else are they bringing in? What's next? Well, tomorrow's the RFA period. If this is indeed the year of the offer sheet. Remember what Brad Treliving said, the Calgary GM last week. He said, because of all the speculation about offer sheets, it might gum up the works in terms of trades. GMs are waiting to see how much they have to pay their restricted guys. Is there going to be an offer sheet that sets a market? You know, in Calgary, how much are we paying Tkachuk? In Toronto, how much are we paying Marner? You know, all over the league, Winnipeg's sitting there with not a lot of cap room trying to figure out what are we paying Laine? What are we paying Kyle Connor? So maybe, you know, the whole, there weren't a ton of trades will open up next week because you will have had the UFA contacts, the signing period opens, the RFA contacts, the cap is set. What else? What other excuse is there? Now, I think general managers next week will have a clearer idea of cost, payroll, what your roster is going to look like, and whether you got a guy in free agency or you missed out on a guy in free agency. Maybe there's a team that's looking for a defenseman. And if they don't get that guy in free agency, they call Jason Botchel and say, you know, let's talk about Rasmus Ristolainen. What do you want for that defenseman? We missed out on our target in free agency. We didn't get Tyler Myers or we didn't get Jake Gardner. So let's call Buffalo and see what they want for Ristolainen. So hopefully next week things will shake out and we'll see a little bit more activity. Because this past weekend was, you know, blah. It was kind of blasé outside for Subban and JT Miller with the big moves.
Yeah.
Now Marlowe moved, but I mean, that was just getting a guy off the roster to create some salary cap space.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just keeps feeling to me like we have to wait for everybody else to make first moves. I don't know. Is Botchel a first move guy? Does he strike you as an aggressive GM?
Not overly, no.
I would say definitely.
I mean, he made big moves, but he wasn't like, he's not the kind of guy that goes out and like sets the market right away.
What big moves?
I mean, O'Reilly was a big trade.
Right,
and
O'Reilly
and
is
bringing
a big trade.
And Skinner but, and signing Skinner is big.
But O'Reilly wasn't in a... That was... I mean, is that an aggressive move?
No,
or
but
is that
a big-name guy.
Sure, but I mean a guy who, before it's obvious, something has to happen.
No, I wouldn't say he is, no.
Yeah, I mean, he still has time to prove that, and maybe he is on some level that we don't know yet, but He doesn't strike me as the gambler. You know, he's safe.
Yeah.
He plays it safe. Who knows what the O'Reilly offers would have been at the deadline. Maybe he liked them, maybe he didn't. And then they get to the end of the season and they trade him to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
With Ristolainen, this is Bottrell's third offseason with Rasmus Ristolainen on his team. He has to know what he is. He has to know he's worth keeping or he's not.
Yeah.
With Skinner, you know, with Skinner, it was, and I want to make clear, like, it's not necessarily all up to him. When they trade for Skinner, he might have wanted to offer Skinner a contract that day, which was, how about 7 years, $7.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And Skinner's camp could have easily said, we want to see how this goes. Then Bottrell says to the media, we're all going to see how this goes. There's no rush here.
Right.
You know, there's what the GM says, and then there's the story that you don't exactly get entirely public. So, you know, it's possible Bottrell could have immediately went to Skinner and identified as, this is a player I want to keep. We're willing to give you $50 million today. And he would have wanted to wait, and of course he ends up getting 72. So I can't necessarily tell you that's on Bottrell. But I do wonder if it was he also wanted to wait versus being aggressive and identifying this player's good, he's going to be good next to Jack, this is something we should do.
Do you think in this discussion, how would you have characterized Tim Murray in hindsight?
He
was more aggressive than Bottrell. Not necessarily for the good.
Well, you know, in both cases, in Murray's case, you had, I have a lot of currency, I might as well spend it.
Uh-huh.
Right? He spent a lot to go get pieces. And that was good. He was aggressive in that way. He traded for the rights to Jimmy Vesey. That was aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I'm going to see if I can get this done. And then the next year, he was not aggressive. The next year, they watched the season fall apart with Bylsma. They didn't change the coach. They didn't make a single move.
Yeah, in December, we're sitting here talking about you're going to do something.
Right.
And he's like waiting for the team to get healthy and let me give him a chance to turn it around.
Yeah, it feels like, it's almost like the fans of this team or people that watch this team religiously could say to the GMs who are, I want to see what I've got. We're all over here saying, we know what you've got. Ask us.
Why don't you do something about it?
Right.
Yeah. And he was, so it's funny, at that point, because I think he was more aggressive than Bottrell. Again, that doesn't mean they were good moves, but he was more apt to do things. Although, at that point, here we are talking about, yo, dude, what are you being so patient for? You know, the season's kind of falling apart. Why don't you do something about it? I think the Bottrell thing, that's why, you know, you bring up offer sheets. I don't expect something like that.
No, neither do I.
You know, we can bring up some of the big-name free agents. I don't think the Sabres will be in on that. And that isn't maybe as much a byproduct of a GM who doesn't strike you as aggressive as it is about the cap and what kind of room they have left, knowing they have multiple areas that they need to address. This team isn't one $10 million forward away from competing for a Stanley Cup. They are multiple players away from competing for a Stanley Cup. So I don't expect, you know, big move. The biggest move I would expect from him is trading Ristolainen. I don't know that there's anything else I would expect. The other stuff will be bottom six forwards. Will be, you know, adding a third or fourth line guy. Maybe, you know, moving out of Gergensen's, putting in somebody else. You know, I really don't expect anything big. I don't expect to be like a free agent signing where I go, holy, you know what? I don't expect the offer sheet. I do expect a Ristolainen trade. That is pretty much number one on my list for Jason Bottrell. And after that, I think it's just he's just going to find a couple of forwards to kind of fill out his four lines. And actually, I should also, as we said earlier, I should add this. I think there would be another move for a defenseman coming in if Ristolainen leaves. But I wouldn't expect him to do anything where I would be like, shocked, wowed, impressed, and go, wow, that is really, you know, going out on a limb. You know, Kruger was that move for some people. I remember reading stories like, well, Bottrell going a little bit out of the box here, bringing back Ralph Kruger after 5 years, you know, overseeing a soccer club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that as all that crazy. I mean, he was a former NHL coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's been doing something different.
Yeah.
But, you know, would Tippett have been outside the box? You know, as we looked at a bunch of different scenarios when they were looking for coach, maybe Kruger's the most out-of-the-box candidate. I mean, Sheldon Keefe was someone you could have tried to get, but there's plenty of speculation.
Unless you went college guys,
right,
maybe one
right.
of the top college guys. But I mean, Kruger was not – it wasn't a name that you would have expected. I think maybe Pierre LeBrun had thrown it out there in April, but I don't know
if it was
ago, a name.
2 years ago, it looked like a good idea.
Right.
And I still like the idea – as it is, you know, as it sits today.
Yeah. I have some trivia for your in honor of your birthday.
Oh, all right.
So put on your thinking cap there. Brayton, put on your thinking cap. So I've tried to come up with something around the number 40.
40.
Okay.
Famous so, 40s. Robin Leonard wears 40.
Carter Hutton wears 40. Ooh. Patrick Laleem wore 40.
I'm out.
What? Why would you possibly file into your memory bank Patrick Laleem wearing jersey 40?
Because he was here for like 3 or 4 years and he wore 40.
But still, I mean, talking about pulling out random names.
And he had the Martian on his helmet. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Patrick Laleem. No, that's not the trivia. No, I was thinking about 40 and I came up with this. There are 9 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have had thrown for at least 40 touchdown passes in a single season.
Mm.
9 guys have thrown for at least 40 touchdown passes in a single year. I'll give you a clue to start. There are no Bills on this list.
Oh.
I wanted to just get that right out.
Thank you.
Off the top. Name the 9 quarterbacks with 40 or more touchdown passes in a single NFL season.
Okay.
Some have done it multiple times.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Very good, sir.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees has done it twice.
Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, just the most recent player to join the list.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning has done it twice.
Okay, now I'm in trouble.
5 more guys.
Brett Favre.
I was going to guess
Favre. Favre is not on this list.
How about Marino?
Marino has done it twice. Very good. He, Brees, Peyton Manning. You're missing one other guy who's done it 2 times.
John Elway?
Elway is not on the list. Brett Favre. He had 39 one year. So he was just outside.
They probably took one away on a replay.
I think, didn't Strahan give him a touchdown once? No.
Did Matthew Stafford reach 50?
Matthew 40. Stafford did reach 40 by the
40,
way.
But right.
Matthew Stafford 40. Is correct. So you have one guy who did it twice and then 2 others who did it 1 time each.
I'm not guessing this. I'm just saying this. Bortles got to 38, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right, he only got to 38.
Blake Bortles
I'm looking for
him.
I'm telling you, he got to 38. He was up there for 4,000 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Jeez. He got to 35.
35.
Yep.
Wow.
All right.
Look at the crowd Bortles is in.
Touchdowns.
You let me know if you need clues.
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm here.
This
all
is why I want to make ironic guesses.
Trent Edwards would not
guesses.
Be a guess.
Ryan Tannehill.
Close, but no cigar.
24. He topped out at. All right, let me get some real guesses in here. Let's guess. Part of me wants to put Philip Rivers here. Rivers?
Incorrect.
Mm.
Rivers would have topped out at, I'll look for it while you're still guessing.
They were all taken back on review. I was watching.
You're going to challenge that? Rivers had 34, looks like, was his season high.
Has Rodgers gotten to 40?
Correct. Aaron Rodgers did it 2 times. Very good. So you got 2 guys left who have done it once each.
You know, I'm noticing a theme here. These teams tend to win a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3.
Shot in the dark, Joe Montana.
Incorrect. 1, 2.
How about Warren Moon?
No, sir.
4, 5. How about...
5 of the 9 have been to a Super Bowl, and I believe at least 2 of the other guys have been to a conference championship game. So, yes, they do win quite a bit.
Ooh. Dante Culpepper?
No, but Culpepper was close. He had 39
in 2004. One taken away on review. I keep forgetting about these ones that are taken away on
Coach's Challenge
on review. Yeah. No, he was a hurry-up drill, and they got tackled at the 1, and they didn't even bother. So then they just ran it in from there. I remember he had 40, basically.
It's 39 according to ProFootballReference.com.
What do they know? quarterbacks with 40 touchdowns.
You got 7 out of 9.
All right, hint land.
Okay. This one is a Hall of Fame quarterback who won a Super Bowl with one team and lost a Super Bowl with another.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, very good. The last one is an active player. His team has made the playoffs in 4 of the 6 seasons in which he has played. He missed a season with an injury, an entire season with an injury.
Andrew Luck,
very good. Okay. Those are your 9 quarterbacks with 40 or more touchdown passes.
Speaking of reviews, yesterday I was out and about, came home, wanted to turn on the Women's World Cup game, U.S. and Spain. And, you know, as you're out and about, pulling it, I get home, I check Twitter, and, oh, it's 1-1. Like, they're kind of in a battle here. Turn the game on, within 30 seconds, penalty, stoppage, time for a lengthy review.
What were they lengthy, reviewing?
Whether or not it was a penalty.
Okay.
There was a 2-minute wait to find out if there would be a penalty, and then another just a very long review. Ruled to be a penalty, and they got it, and they won. But, man, it was a soft penalty. It's kind of a soft penalty.
It's a long review.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
But
they don't have coaches' challenges in soccer, do they?
No, they just have
VAR. So how do they determine a review?
What you do, this is what...
Is there a guy upstairs?
I love soccer. What they do is the players stall long enough to see if VAR is going to call down
really?
To the...
So the person upstairs is watching a replay
yes,
and tells the referee.
And tells the official.
You got to check.
If I have this right, it's tough to keep track of who does what. But I think what they do is the person upstairs can make their call, and the official on the field can either just trust that or go look for themselves or who knows.
Wow.
Each governing body has its own version of it. But lengthy review. Hey, look, there's a game on. Also, never mind. It's been stopped to review something.
Hey, Matt tweeted in. By the way, happy birthday to you. Hope you have a good one. Get your pick of the litter out of the vending machine from Howard. Which reminds me, did you open your card?
Yeah, you gave me $2. I saw that.
Yeah, one each from me and Brayton. We both contributed.
And
I thought you'd like money falling out of the card.
$2 is going to get my pick of the litter out of that vending machine.
Yeah, you'll have change.
There's nothing over $2.
That's what I'm saying. You could get a really good snack for like $1.25 and still have
and
75
then just, you know,
cents.
Just dream about what I do with the other 75 cents. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have leftover money, so you're welcome. We thought it'd be nice for you to open a card and have some kind of money fall out.
So, very much so.
A GW from each of us. I thought that was a nice little... On top of everything else you got. Actually, it's mostly gag gifts, but, you know, we got you a gift that you asked for.
Yeah, you did. This hat is great. I like it more than the flats or the drums hat.
Really? See?
I do.
I'm
I
a
like
drums
it.
Guy.
I like it. I
drums.
Like, I like the flats hat.
I know you're a flats. You like the flats logo.
Yes.
I like the drums.
I also like the orange of the flats. The drums is a little darker red.
Yeah,
I think.
Like a maroon. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is more of a wing sauce orange.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I like the flats.
I like that concept better with the orange, but the logo for the drum is way better.
Sharp.
I tweeted out a picture of it. It's orange with the white front panel. And the old the flat taking a swing at a hot cheese or at a blue cheese ball with a stick of celery. I dig it.
It is a nice logo.
Yeah.
Do you have the little tab on top still? Did you take that
I
off?
I took that
the
off.
Little, okay, good, because I thought that was, you know, I was going to say, I forgot to clip the little thing off the top. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Big John tweeted in, the biggest problem with the Sabres is not the fourth line or the third line or the first line. It's the second line. They don't have one. There isn't a single quality second line player on the team. Get two guys and pray that Olofsson develops, and maybe we can vie for a playoff spot. It is a big hole. There's no question. If you put a depth chart together, and assuming you put Reinhardt, unless you want Reinhardt on the second line to not load up all the guys on the top line, Skinner, Eichel, and somebody, then you put Reinhardt on the second line. Baltra the other day talked about Reinhardt driving offense for a line from the right wing spot. Then you have the makings of that second line. But either way, you're still missing three other components in your top six. A number two center, a top line winger on the right side for Eichel Skinner, and another winger on the Reinhardt line, which maybe that's hopefully where Olofsson fills in to take that spot. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Hey, we are approaching the WGR golf tournament. We are getting close to the July 8th event at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course. And you can bid on a celebrity, a WGR celebrity. You can bid on some of the other celebrities who are going to be there. Danny Gare, Andrew Peters, Brian Duff, Dan Dunleavy, and as I said, the GR celebrities as well. Place your bid at WGR550.com. You get a full round of golf, full day. You get breakfast before the golf. You get lunch on the course during the golf. You get the big dinner afterwards. There'll be prizes and contests going on throughout the course of the tournament. We have a silent auction with the dinner where there's some great memorabilia up for bid, and it's Monday, July 8th. So get your bid in now at WGR550.com. The Celebrity Golf Tournament is brought to you by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ever see this video?
No. I'm not sure I'm familiar with this song.
You're familiar or not?
No, not. Oh, I mean, I know a number of Wham or George Michael solo songs. Play it a little bit more, Brayton. Can you bring it up
this
a little
is,
bit?
Wham had a different song called Freedom, too. He had two
songs.
It's
Freedom. Is this
Freedom?
Well,
there are two different Freedoms.
Okay, I know Freedom.
There's a different Freedom.
Okay. I didn't
anyway,
know there
it's
were
George,
two.
It's the late George Michael's birthday.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't realize which song it was.
Yeah, there's Freedom and then there's Freedom 90 or something like that. I think that's how they call it.
This is Freedom 90.
Yeah. Very, very famous video. Back in the days when VH1 was a thing. Is VH1 still a station?
Yes.
It is.
Isn't it? No, wait a minute. Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it like show?
I'm ready to be shocked. It is. Okay.
Shows? Yep.
Well, back when, you know, there were music videos on.
Yeah, there's still, it's still on.
MTV and VH1 and. Yeah, anyway.
MTV's a fad. It won't last.
We've got another airplane story to talk about at some point. It's incredible. Yesterday we talked about Cam Newton offering a passenger $1,500.
Yep.
Wait to hear this one. Anyway, Carolina trades Calvin DeHaan to Chicago in a deal that includes Anton Forsberg going back to Carolina. Sabres have contacted Joe Pavelski's agent. Now comes the question, will he even take their meeting?
Did the agent hit decline? If you saw 716 pop up?
I don't know. NFL reporting dates. The Bills rookies report on the 22nd. The Vets on the 24th. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 10-8. Extend their home run streak. Italy's getting the 2026 games in Milan and nearby areas. U.S. beats Spain 2-1 in the Women's World Cup. Giannis wins the MVP. Those are your headlines.
The one of Buffalo's favorite events, Brews on the Water, is set for Gratwick Waterfront Park in North Tonawanda. Saturday, July 27th, breweries from all over the U.S. will be pouring their best beers. You can enjoy games, shopping vendors, and live music performances from American authors and in the valley below. Tickets and more details are available for you at WGR550.com.
Is it also NHL schedule release day? Oh, okay.
Is today the schedule release? Tomorrow is, or no, is today? Yeah, today's Hockey Hall of Fame class, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I got to look at the list of names that are up for.
McGillney?
I think he'll go in at some point, yeah.
Yeah?
Right? Did he get over? We always do, so we always talk about McGillney every year. Did he top 500 goals?
I'll wait for you to find out.
I can never remember his stat line. I think he'll go in at some point.
Well, he's up this year, right? Maybe this is
473 goals, 1,032 points. Yeah, I think he'll get in at some point.
NBC Sports lists Haley Wickenheiser as a lock.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Alfredson, possible. I would say he
possible?
Has.
Possible? How is he not a lock?
I think Alfredson goes. Curtis Joseph? No.
No. I liked Cujo. He was a good goalie, but Hall of Fame material?
He was a three-time All-Star.
Was he really?
He was also
I've never considered him, but.
He was a three-time Vezina finalist. Didn't win a cup.
I never was afraid of, like, facing Curtis Joseph.
No, he had a cool nickname, but I don't think so.
Like, oh, goodness, you're facing Wah, Hasek, Brodeur, whatever. Somebody. Curtis Joseph was just not a guy you looked at and go, how are we going to beat Cujo?
They also list as possibles Alex Mogilny.
Okay. He's got a shot. Good shot.
He had 473 goals, IHHF triple gold club. You win the Stanley Cup, the Olympics, the World Championship. Also possible, Jeremy Roenick. What do you think?
Honestly, I'd have to do it. I would really need to do a further dive into his
career.
He did
have 500 goals.
Did he? Okay.
513 goals.
That's pretty good.
Nine-time All-Star. Mm. Three straight 100-point, 45-plus goal seasons. He's very famous, right?
20 years, 500 goals, 1,200 points.
I think he's going to get in.
I would say he would get in.
I think he's going to go in. 500 goals and a nine-time All-Star. I think Roenick goes in.
Yeah.
Doug Wilson, Sergei Zubov. And then here are the rest. Again, NBCSports.com laying these out. Tom Barrasso, Peter Bondra, Dan Boyle, Rod Brind'Amour, Patrick Eliash, Theo Fleury, Sergei Gonchar. Vinny LeCavalier is up with 421 career
goals. Of all the names you just mentioned, LeCavalier was the only guy I'd consider out of that group.
I got more. Kevin Lowe, Bernie Nichols, Kent Nilsson, Chris Osgood, Brad Richards, Keith Tkachuk, Pierre Turgeon had 500 goals. Five-time All-Star.
Boy.
Mike Vernon. That's the list.
It's funny. I never thought about Pierre Turgeon as a Hockey Hall of Famer. And yet he had 500 goals. I don't know if that's one of those things that's a lock for a voter for the Hall of Fame. Like a guy gets 500 goals and he gets in no matter how long it takes. I don't know. I never thought Turgeon was one of those guys. Like one of the best ever to play the sport. He was good. He was really good. Obviously with 500 goals. But I never thought him as a Hall of Famer.
I hope Dan Boyle makes it in. Because I want the New York reporter to be there that he told to get the hell out of the room.
I don't even remember that
Dan
story.
Dan Boyle.
Yeah,
former Shark defenseman,
yeah,
among others.
When he retired, he went on this like massive tirade, and he was calling out like media members, and he's just like, I want you to get out of here. I want you to get out of here. And then they were just like, why do you want us out of here? Because I don't like you. Get out.
Wow. I don't remember that.
Yeah, you'd think that would stand out, right? That's not exactly an everyday occurrence.
And Dan Boyle doesn't have a chance, does
he?
No,
God, no.
Yeah, right. Like he
was a guy.
He played 1,000 games.
Yeah, and he was okay. He was good, but Hall of Fame. Does he even have a discussion in the room about Dan Boyle?
I wasn't listed on their website. I just ran through.
No, he's not going in.
All right.
The only way he gets in the Hall of Fame is like you and I, buy a ticket.
Are you ready for our plane story of the day?
Sure.
So yesterday was Cam Newton offering a passenger $1,500 for more leg room on a 10-hour flight, and the guy said no.
Yeah.
Today. This is from Air Canada. Yeah, so a passenger on an Air Canada flight, earlier this month this happened. Tiffany O'Brien of Ontario, Canada, fell asleep in an empty row of seats on her flight home from Quebec City to Toronto.
Okay.
She woke up later, hours later, around midnight, still in her seat, all alone, on the plane.
Whoa.
The crew had disembarked.
No way.
The plane was off.
I'm calling shenanigans.
It was completely shut down.
No. No.
What do you mean no?
Wouldn't the last thing you do as a flight attendant look in the cabin and see if there's someone on the plane? How do they all walk off the plane with a human being in a seat?
No idea. But it happened.
That's impossible.
She began texting her friend who drove her to the airport later that day. So the problem becomes she's in the plane and she can't figure out where do I go. It's pitch dark. Panic sets in. She said she entered the cockpit to search for something, anything that could help. She found a flashlight, turned it on, directed the light out the windows of the cockpit in hopes that somebody would see it. Eventually she got the door open, the grounds crew found her, and she got out of the plane.
I was going to say there's probably no jetway, stairway, if the plane's just sitting out on a tarmac somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't exactly
so
get off the plane.
Stuck in a plane.
How is there not? The last thing you do as a flight attendant, right, would be walk up and down the aisle, make sure nobody left any luggage in the overheads, make sure there's no one in a seat. That's impossible. How do you get off the plane with someone on it? That would be like, that's got to be like an incredibly bad rules violation.
See, there's a lot.
Will someone get like fired for that?
Oh yeah, there's going to be an investigation.
I just don't know how you did that. That's
so. She goes on to say that
mind-boggling.
The irony is, right? She slept through a landing.
Well, yeah, that would be.
And everybody getting up and getting off the plane.
You think someone, even like a passenger walking out, as you get to the front of the plane, you say, "Hey, thank you to the pilot, whatever." Hey, there's someone sleeping in row 14. Someone would point that out.
But since then. She says,
"Boy, good. By the way, good for you sleeping on a plane. I cannot do that."
She recounted the incident on Air Canada's official Facebook page and said, I haven't gotten much sleep since the reoccurring night terrors and waking up anxious and afraid I'm alone, locked up someplace dark.
I can't even imagine
what that
would feel
like. So
the
person that could sleep through a landing
now can't sleep.
Now, I could tell you this. If imagine for a moment you wake up in a plane
and it's
that's
dark,
pitch black,
nobody's around.
And nobody's there.
I can't even imagine what my thought process
you
would be at that point.
You think you are in a time warp.
I might have thought I was dead and I was in heaven.
That's
and
what
I was
I mean.
On
like,
a plane in
it
heaven.
It is such a strange event.
Where am I?
Your mind wouldn't process it.
Yeah, I couldn't even think about it. Right. Because it's just, who would believe it would happen? Somebody would wake you up. Just... Did you have a checked bag in the overhead? Again, I have no idea how
that happens.
Maybe the pilot and the co-pilot, maybe they just get done in the cockpit and they leave the plane, but I
listen, I'm still stunned that people can sleep on planes, never mind sleep through a landing
and deplaning, everything, all the activity, people getting up, grabbing their bags,
and
walking up and down.
It's Quebec to Toronto.
It's a short flight.
Yeah, how deep
long is
could
that
the
flight?
Sleep be?
That can't be that long a flight. It's got to be under an hour, I would think.
Anyway.
Maybe an hour?
She described it as a nightmare and as a really rough experience, which I can imagine those first moments being, like you said, am I dead?
You would think you were dead. Like,
what,
you wake up
what
and it's
happened?
Dark. Like, where am I? What happened? Right. Do you think, did Schmer Schmanada offer her, like, some free travel?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you think that they would be like, hey, we're really sorry. Anytime you want to go anywhere in Canada, it's on us.
From now on, you can sleep in the lie flat seats. And we'll make sure to clear that
free.
Yeah.
And this time we'll wake you up.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. Again, I think if there is a flight attendant's handbook, rule one might be don't leave anybody on the plane.
Don't leave people on the plane.
You know, make sure they're on the right flight, whatever. Don't leave someone sitting on the plane. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Got a name to pass along, a tweet about the Sabres and a target.
A rumor?
Out there. No. It's just someone, a listener, tweeted in a name that they're interested in and wanted to get our opinion. We'll do that when we get back. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, this week we have a new Friday Golf Foursome available in a really cool contest we have here. Your chance to golf with Jeremy at various courses around Western New York.
Did you see what I finagled for this Friday? I did it. I'm playing Friday with one of our Friday foursome
winners. Yeah, you got something for
this
schedule.
It's tough to arrange with these guys. And, in the interest of the listeners, they can only golf in the morning. So I'm on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're off, huh?
I'm going to be golfing instead.
I was thinking you had like a portable bar.
It's not off, Howard. I'm working.
Yeah, right.
I'm working Friday morning.
Right, yeah, yeah.
On the golf course.
So you got the 6 o'clock update from the course?
Listen, sales guys work on the golf course all the time. Just make a phone call, you're working.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm doing Friday morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. All right, it's your birthday. I'll let it slide. You getting paid for Friday?
Well, I mean, no, not really.
Okay, I just want to say, he's working. You're off. Brayton's off.
Well, Brayton's off too.
Yeah, thanks for bailing.
Last time I left town, they hired a coach. And the time before that, they fired a coach. So your trade comes Friday. You're welcome.
I'll take it. No, believe me, I could use something here. Anyway, this week you can register for your chance to win a round of golf with Jeremy at Holiday Valley Double Black Diamond Golf Course. So you get a round of golf, 18 holes, for you and two of your friends with Jeremy. You get lunch. You get a cart to use for play. You also get a prize pack from Michelob Ultra that includes a Michelob Ultra divot tool, a golf towel, Under Armour golf hat, six-pack cooler, and a chance to hang out with Jeremy all day and talk about sports. Don't ask him about the tank. To register for your chance
to win.
Short
conversation.
To register for your chance to win, WGR550.com. You have until noon on Thursday, okay, to register for this week's Friday Golf Foursome, so give it a shot. I will say your cake that we got you, I dropped the ball a little bit because Braden said to me yesterday after the show, so, you know, we're talking about plans and cake and everything, he goes, you should get a cake made like a tank.
Yeah.
I dropped the ball because that is something you need, like a specialty cake. They need a little more notice than, hey, I need a cake and I need it ready today. Yeah. Make it in the form of a tank. And they're like,
and I could eat it and it would be wonderful. And then my next meal, I could get food poisoning and I could blame the tank.
That's what we should have done. We should have got a tainted cake for him.
Tainted cake.
I missed the opportunity.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, I've been watching the Sabres ever since I was 7 years old. I'm 55. We got ripped off by the Olympics when Briere and Drury and Miller went there and played their butts off and just died in the end of the season. This last year, I hate to bring up sore things, but this last year, we were in first place. The team just realized it, and they all fell apart going, how do we get in first place? So, you know, when it comes to Risto, I love Risto. The guy has got tenacity like nobody else I've ever seen play. He is a brick. He is a monster. If we trade him, he will haunt us. I don't care. You take 10 of the young guys, package them, find a way to make it work, trade somebody else, but don't trade Ristolainen, and that guy is going to go down as one of the greatest defensemen to ever play the game. You mark my words.
Rasmus Ristolainen's agent calling in the program yesterday.
That was caller to the afternoon show yesterday.
I like Risto, but haunted? You're not trading Darlene. It's Rasmus Ristolainen. You'd be haunted more by Ryan O'Reilly than Rasmus Ristolainen.
Next time we talk about you, I want to ask, does anybody ever ask about Darlene? You know, like you have a phone call and you're talking about some players and the GM says, how about that other guy you got, Darlene? What would it take? And does Jason give a joking answer? Like, oh, these four players and your next 12 first-round picks. You know, like, what? Or is it just understood that they never even bothers coming up?
Who's this guy? There was another guy on your roster, Jason. Rasmus Dahlin? Is it Dahlin? Yeah, I don't.
But I
it can't hurt to ask.
That's what I mean. I want to ask if
you should ask about anybody.
You know, if it's a guy that he has a good relationship, that would joke about that. You know, you know, if you're even in fantasy leagues, I could offer a trade to Mike Schoep and just be like, hey, how about this? And he could like, come on.
I'd call Edmonton and ask for McDavid.
What do you think I'm doing?
Call and ask for anybody. Why not? And it isn't, you know, the whole, well, Wayne Gretzky got traded once. Why not? What do? They say no. They laugh you. I mean, just,
right.
You should ask
so
for anybody.
I got to ask him if they do the thing knowing that they're just going to, you know, kind of laugh at each other.
Yeah. Hey, maybe someday someone says yes to your preposterous trade question.
We've got a lot of texts about, there's this little meme developing for wishing me a happy birthday, and I'll read you some of them here. Happy birthday, Terrell Troop, one pick before Gronk. Okay, thanks for that. Right? There's more of these. Happy birthday, Brock Besser went 2 picks after the Leonard trade. That was from JB.
He wouldn't have helped at all.
And a lot of the first one was about Hall for Risto. Then there was Vanek for Sagan. Happy birthday. The Bills. I can't remember what the Bills did. The Bills drafted Aaron Maben instead of Haloti Ngata. Was that the same year? Am I missing my? Or is that Spiller over Ngata?
No.
Yeah, so people are wishing me a happy birthday while bringing to light or bringing back something else that went wrong as a reminder. Like, happy birthday. Hey, remember that thing that wasn't good?
Happy birthday. The Bills gave up a boatload to trade up for Sammy Watkins.
So you've led a pretty charmed life is where
happy
we're going
birthday,
with this.
Happy birthday. The coach played Sammy Watkins in the preseason with broken ribs.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Dan Bilesma put out Johan Larson against
Connor
McDavid.
Oh, you did it. You did it.
That's good.
You did it.
That's the topper. That is the ice cream on the cake. That's beautiful. You had to set the tone for that game.
I wasn't even mad today until now.
Hey, we had the last line change. You know, that's what you do. It's about matchups. That is so funny. That beats Terrell Troop. That beats everybody. That's hilarious.
I'm so sorry.
Right? That's hilarious.
I think it's the dumbest thing that's happened I've been here. That's, you know, the dumbest thing that's happened.
This other stuff is evaluating players, trades, draft picks, whatever. This is...
Plays the first 45 seconds of a hockey game?
Right, you started a 60-minute hockey game by matching up your checking center on the first shift of the night. Because, you know, McDavid could win the faceoff, go right down, score the first goal, and then you're doomed to fail and lose that game. That's funny. That's very well played, Brayton. Tell you what, I have the. It's Ryan Dezingle. We'll bring that back in the next segment because I tweeted that. I was going to say that.
I also want to say we have a happy birthday. Maybe pull Avante Davis and retire halfway through the show.
Right,
which means I would leave now.
If anybody is retiring halfway through a show, it is me, not you. You're stuck with this job. Hey, you only got 25 more years doing this.
Right. Jack tweets in, Happy birthday. The Bills drafted T.J. Graham 2 picks ahead of Russell Wilson. Thanks for these guys.
I still think the Larson one is hilarious.
It's pretty good.
Again, draft picks don't turn out sometimes. And you can go through any draft and say, hey, you know who they didn't draft at the time? I don't know how many people were yelling and screaming you should have taken Rob Gronkowski instead of Terrell Troop. It's easy to look back at a draft and say, hey, look who was there. I think the Johan Larson thing is freaking hilarious. 803-0550 to join us.
They're getting good now. Happy birthday. Rory Fitzpatrick couldn't find a puck in his feet. Happy birthday, Jeremy McKee got a leg infection. Yep.
That happened. Somebody bring in Caroline and all the defensemen getting injured. Hey, it is Tuesday, so we want to tell you about our furry fan of the week. Make sure you go to WGR550.com. We have a number of pets looking for new homes, and we put up pictures of different pets each week. And if you're interested in adopting a pet, go to our website, scroll down, bottom of the homepage, WGR550.com. You'll find a link for Furry Fan of the Week. Take a look at the pictures. We got some bios on these pets. We have a link to the SPCA of Erie County website. If you need more information, give a pet a new home. That is our Furry Fan of the Week at WGR550.com. It is brought to you by DeLacy Ford. First for Ford, first for pets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.